The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth.
You're listening to Truth Infusion. And now for your host, David Markham.
All right, thank you, Matt. Thank you for that introduction. For those of you that are familiar with the show, if you've been with us several times, then you've heard that voice at the beginning and at the end of the show, and that is my good friend Matt Whatley. Now, Matt is very special to me and to Truth Infusion Ministries because he is the brain behind making me sound decent and good, making the radio shows work, making the commercials on the radio programs, stations rather, work. He also does the producing and the engineering for the music CDs that I do and work on. And he's a fabulous mind when it comes to the audio studio technical side of things. He's worked in that area for a long time, and he's very good at what he does, and he's just been a godsend to me. So I always like to mention him from time to time and say thank you, and I really am thankful that God has brought him to us over the last years. He's a blessing. So thank you, Matt. Welcome to Truth Infusion. Guys, this is the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. And if you are new to the show, or if you are new to Truth Infusion Ministries, let me give you just a quick word. I'd love to tell you all about what God's doing for us and to us and through us, but we don't have time to go into all those details today. So here's what you do. You go to truthinfusion.com. Please, I'm asking you that you would. I want you to see what God is doing through Truth Infusion Ministries. And there's all kinds of activities that you can involve yourself with from the website that would be a benefit to your spiritual life, I pray. We have writings through the blog that we use as a Bible study. We have several radio shows that you can stream for free. You can go to the music page and see what we've been doing there. Listen to a clip from one of my more recent CD works. And you can also check out our schedule of upcoming events, and maybe we'll be in your area. God's got me traveling all around the Four States area and enjoying the opportunity to meet and greet with brothers and sisters and congregations all around. Truth Infusion Ministries is not associated with a particular church or denomination. Some people don't like that. Some people want you to have their label on your ministry, to the denominational name or title to be able to come and see them. But you know what? In 2013, a lot of people are just seeking the truth. Amen. Thank God for that. And so what I'm able to do is I'm branching into several denominations, from Pentecostal-leaning denominations to more traditional. Been in Methodist churches, Baptist churches, Nazarene churches, non-denominational churches. I've been on I've been to the church under the bridge, guys. It was literally a church that they meet under a bridge in downtown Texarkana for the homeless congregation there. And Brother Cody Howard and his crew are doing an amazing work with by the hand of God. And I've been able to preach there. So God is getting us into the churches to preach truth and revival to the churches. And so please check out the website and see what's going on. And I'd love to have you support us in any way that God leads you to. And that's all I'm going to say about that. We've started a series on the Laodicean letter. Ultimately, the major title of this series is Living in Laodicea. But the first part that we're going to deal with is the letter itself. We got to look at the word and see what the scripture says. And that's what we're going to be doing today. So if you have an opportunity to look in your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 14 here in a little bit. But if you're riding in your car, then I will read over the airwaves, the scripture that we're studying at the moment. So you just drive carefully and safely and just lend me your ear. Keep your eyes on the road. Amen. Let me give you some some good information about the Laodicean church and the city of Laodicea, because I believe that if you really get a good idea of the context of the scripture that you're looking at and reading and studying, if you learn the who, where, when, why of the Bible passage that you're looking at, it will open up in greater revelation to you. That is being a Bible student. We got to get past the idea, church, that we're responsible for just reading the words on the page. No, we are responsible for studying the Word of God, for meditating on the Word of God, for ingesting and digesting and digging deeper into the Word of God. The superficial reading of the words on the page, an atheist can do that. Satan himself knows the words on the page. He even knows some of the deeper meanings of the words on the page. But let me tell you something. We don't need any more Bible education. We've got plenty of avenues and resources to educate us on the Bible. Man of God, woman of God, boy, girl, teen, listen, you don't need the education. You need the revelation. I'm preaching to you a little bit for just a minute. We need Bible revelation. Education anybody can receive. The academic, secular, atheistic, humanistic, evolution-driven college professor that's dumping junk into the minds of our young people, they have Bible education. They're still headed to hell if they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Education won't fix it. Education won't save you. You need revelation from the Word of God. Now, what's the difference? Education improves your mind. Revelation changes your heart. So I encourage you, get off the surface of the page and get down deep into the meaning of the Word. So let me give you some context. Let me give you some where and some why and some how so that the Word opens up a little bit more amazing and deeper for us. Very important to me. It's changed my Bible study habits, and you need to do that too. You really do. Let me tell you a little bit about Laodicea. Okay, during the time that John wrote the book of Revelation, history bears this out. Laodicea, the city at that time, was prosperous. Archaeologically, we have uncovered sites over the city of Laodicea. And guess what they found? Great fountains, waterways, water towers. Okay, I mean, architecturally, some pretty amazing stuff. And this appears that the city of Laodicea had engineering capability. They had the financial worth to do something pretty cool. They channeled water, as we've seen through reading history, literature, and from the archaeological digging. They channeled water from an aqueduct. Now listen to this, that was over 4 miles away. And later on in this teaching, we're going to talk about this aqueduct, this waterway again. Excuse me as I drink a little green tea today. It's not coffee today, guys. It's green tea. And I'll probably go back to the coffee tomorrow. But after reading John's letter to the church, we can conclude that the Christian community of Laodicea must have also shared in the wealth of the city and the prosperity of the city at that time. Most folks believe, let me see, how do I say this? Many Christians today are of the belief and the mindset that when a church is wealthy, when a church has, you know, thousands of people and they've got an espresso bar in the foyer and their pastor has, you know, bestseller books on the New York Times list, that means the church is blessed by God. The more money, the more blessed this church, more religious this church must be. And they're right if they're thinking they're religious. But the truth is, great prosperity has never been a sign of spiritual maturity. Now, I'm not saying that spiritually mature folks and churches aren't financially blessed. Some of them are. But the ones that are not blessed so that they can throw money in the air and show people their money. They are blessed because, financially that is, because they have the heart that God can trust to receive financial blessings and to redistribute that to those in places, those people in those places that need it. They become channels and avenues of blessing, not reservoirs of greed, and flaunt that among the community and show everybody, you know, what they've got. So just because Laodicea and their church was wealthy, we will soon find out, does not mean that they were spiritually okay. In fact, they were not. So, not only did this church have financial resources, evidently so, they claimed that they did themselves, or Jesus said, you say that you're wealthy. But they also had great spiritual resources. Now, let me show you this. Several times in Paul's writings, he refers to the church in Laodicea. Now, Ephesus was one of the seven letters. We know that Paul wrote the book of Ephesians, so that correspondence went to the Ephesian church. But the Laodicean church also received several letters or correspondence or teachings from Paul. In fact, Paul even sent men specifically to the Laodicean church. One man was Epaphras by name, Paul sent there to help train and disciple them. You can read in Colossians the account of this. Read in Colossians 1, verse 7. Read in Colossians 4, around verses 12 through 16 or 17. And you'll see what I'm talking about. We learn from these passages that Paul instructed that the book of Colossians, the epistle to the Colossians church, also be sent to Laodicea. Think about this. Can you imagine the tremendous opportunities and resources that God afforded this church? They were not left on the backside of nowhere to spiritually fend for themselves. They were a project of the Apostle Paul and the Apostle John. They had specific teachers sent to them to hold them up, to disciple them. They had the books of the Bible, some of the books of the Bible that we hold dear today, that were specifically instructed to go to the church. Read Colossians and the amazing teachings on the cross. The Laodicean church was not ignorant, is what I'm trying to get at. They were given many spiritual opportunities. They had at their fingertips the physical and financial resources. What more could they want? Holy Spirit inspired letters and teachings, interaction from Paul and John themselves. You see what I'm getting at? Truly, truly, Laodicea was a blessed community of believers. But the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 12, to whom much is given, much is expected. If God's going to pour out His rich blessings on you, then it comes with the understanding that you must do right by the blessing and the responsibility that you've been handed by God. You don't get off scot-free. To whom much is blessed and given, there's an expectation and a responsibility that comes to you. And the church at Laodicea was blessed. They're not a bunch of ignorant nobodies. They are called, taught, inspired by God and the apostles. They were given His word. And they ran amok with it. And Jesus was none too happy, as we will see in this letter coming up. So when we're going to go to break now in just about 30 seconds. And when we come back, we are going to begin in verse 14. And here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to take a section at a time, maybe a whole verse, maybe a part of a verse. And we're going to read the part of the verse, and then we are going to talk about the meaning of sometimes single words, of sometimes the phrase. We're going to show you what Jesus was saying to the Laodicean church. And then we'll begin to recognize what is Jesus saying to us today. So when we come back on the other side of the break, Revelation chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 14, and we're going to discuss the word angel. The word angel, right on the other side of the break. Hey, Truth Infusion listeners, this is David. I need you to do something for me. I want to take some of our radio shows and use them like a question and answer time. I want to take the questions that you have, apply the Word of God to them, and see if I can help you come up with some answers to some stuff perhaps you've been struggling with. So you go to truthinfusion@gmail.com and send me your questions. truthinfusion@gmail.com, and you keep seeking the truth.
Truth Seekers, this is Jennifer. I wanted to take a moment to remind you of something. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I guess the children's song is true. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Okay, until next time, you keep seeking the truth.
All right, welcome back, brothers and sisters, truth seekers across America, across the world. This is David, your host of Truth Infusion radio program. If you're just tuning into us, we're about to get into verse 14 of Revelation chapter 3. We're going to start looking at the Laodicean letter, and we're going to begin to build this teaching that I've entitled Living in Laodicea. So just let's do that. If you're riding in your car, then you maintain your eyes on the road, but give me your heart and your ears, and let me teach you this amazing scripture here. We're going to look at basically the first verse for the next 12 minutes or so, and begin to see what Jesus is saying to the church. Now, here's how the letter to Laodicea begins. Verse 14, it says, "To the angel of the church of Laodicea, write." Write with a W. To the angel of the church of Laodicea, write. Now, we're beginning to see here the introduction that Christ gives all of the letters in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. These letters to the seven churches in Asia, they all start the same. The only difference is he names the different churches individually. So, in other words, in chapter 2, you would read, "To the angel of the church of Ephesus, write." Colon. "To the angel of the church of Philadelphia, write. To the angel of the church of Thyatira, write." So in verse 14 of chapter 3, we read, "To the angel of the church of Laodicea, write." Now, we got to look at this word angel, because it's thrown a lot of people a curveball here, and there really isn't a hard curve to have to deal with. It's kind of straightforward. But the correct meaning of this word has been a point of disagreement among Christian scholars over the years, and there's many different camps and ideas on what this word refers to. Some people claim that it's talking about an angelic being, a real heavenly angel, that was somehow assigned to oversee the church in this particular letter, the Church of Laodicea. Well, there's a problem here because you can read through the Word and we just have no scriptural backing that alludes to some sort of angelic oversight of the church. Now, I will contend and give you that God assigns angels to watch over and protect the church, but not in some kind of angelic or heavenly government over the church. In other words, Jesus is not sending this letter to the angel. An angel doesn't need to read a letter from John that he dictated for Jesus. Jesus, God, he corresponds with angels in person. I mean, think about it. Why would John send a letter to an angel? That makes no sense whatsoever. And we don't have any scriptural backing that says that that's how things operate over churches. Other people say that this is referring to some sort of area-wide overseer, a man that was the overseer of several churches over that general area. Today, we have denominations that set themselves up this way, and they will have a bishop over a large area, okay? Let me say this. The apostles never set the church up to work that way. God never gave instruction in the Word for there to be a church with a pastor, and then over that church there would be a man that oversees several churches, and over that would be another man that oversees several regions. God didn't set things up that way. You don't find that in the Bible. The apostles did not set up the first century church that way. Man has used this method in different denominations over centuries. This has popped up, but this was never God's plan for church government. It just wasn't. The church government plan is very simple. From God the Father, direction goes to the pastor or the elder or the overseer or the bishop. This word is used interchangeably in Paul's writings. It's the same guy. It's not talking about different people. Same words are used here. It is the one overseer of the church that operates directly under Jesus Christ. And under that man, there may be spiritual leaders within that church themselves, and then the congregation or the deacons that, you know, but there's not an overseer to oversee several churches. That's just not in the Word. The word angel, almost always in the Word of God, is translated messenger. And many times it's referring to an angelic being, a heavenly angel. But a lot of times, the translators that translated over from the Greek or the Latin, they took a word messenger, and instead of describing it fully and better, they stuck the word angel there because angel means messenger. Now, messenger is the better translation than the word angel here. So let's say it that way. Jesus would have better said to the messenger of the church of Laodicea, right? All right, Jesus' letters to these seven churches are addressed to the messenger of the church. In this case, the messenger to the church of Laodicea. Obviously, the messenger of any given church is the church's pastor. He is the man that is receiving the word, the direction from God to then administer it to the church. Now, he is the man that proclaims God's message to the believers in that body. And I want to say a few things about this idea. This is God's planned hierarchy of government, of administration, of spiritual leadership in the church. God speaks, Jesus Christ speaks, most of the time through His Word. Everything the church of 2013 needs to operate, to function, to thrive is found in detail, line and letter, in the Word of God. And the man of God, the pastor, the preacher, the prophet of the church, his job is to seek out the will of God through the Word of God. The message should come to the pastor. Now, other members in the church that are spiritually apt enough and have the gifts to do this also will receive messages from God. There are associate pastors or spiritual leaders that may be preachers and teachers within a body. Sure, that happens regularly, and it should in a good, thriving church. You should have those type of leaders. And they will receive individual understanding and messages for that church, but their ministry falls underneath the oversight of the senior pastor of the church that God himself has placed in charge in that local body. They're not to teach. God's not going to give those associate preachers and teachers and messengers a word that is contrary to the will and the teaching and the direction of the pastor teacher. Does that make sense? I have seen churches that operate very well in this way. There is a senior preacher, pastor, teacher is a good title from the Word of God for that man. And underneath him, there are spiritual leaders that carry the direction that God has given that head pastor and move forward with it. And sometimes they preach behind the pulpit, but it always falls, if they are right, within the guidelines and the precepts and the directions that God is giving that man of God that is the leader there, that is the messenger for God, for the church. So when Jesus wrote a letter to tell the church in Laodicea of the good things and the bad things that they were doing, when he outlined what he wanted them to know, this is how he did it. He sent the letter to the pastor so that the pastor could receive it, read it, know it, and then give the word to the people below him. Now, there's two things I want to say about that. Number one, if you're in a church, my friend, and God is speaking and ministering through other people, and it's outshining or outdirecting or coming in conflict with the pastor's word, then one of two things is happening. Either the church is out of joint altogether, or the pastor is not receiving from the Lord. There's a problem in the mix. That's not how God operates. And the second thing I want to point out is this. When the pastor stands in the pulpit and says, "Thus saith the Lord," he is responsible for the word that he gives. He's not responsible to that word to you, the congregant, the laity, the congregation, to speak the words of God. When you say, "Thus saith the Lord," you better get it right because you are representing God Almighty. So his words must be true to you, the listeners in the church, but he also is responsible to God himself, and he will stand before him and give a reckoning for the leadership and the direction and the "thus saith the Lord" that issued from his mouth when he stands before God one day. That man is speaking for the Lord. He is the messenger to the church. So he better get it right because he will answer to God himself. This letter came from Jesus, the ultimate head of the body of Christ, to the messenger at Laodicea, and the responsibility was then on that pastor to enunciate that letter, letter and line every word to the church and say it just like Jesus had lined it out, whether he liked it or not. And let me tell you, the words he's about to give to this church are not comfortable. But if he's a man of God, he must give it the way he received it. That's what a messenger does. Next week, we're going to get into the rest of this verse where Jesus tells them exactly who is writing this letter. Make no mistake about it. After the first introduction from Jesus Christ, they knew they were being addressed by the Son of God. And you want to catch this. There's amazing teaching coming from verse 14, and we'll get back into it next week. Until then, my friends, you keep seeking the truth.
Thank you for listening to Truth Infusion. Please visit Truth Infusion Ministries on the web at truthinfusion.com. Once again, that's truthinfusion.com. We also would like to hear from our listeners. Email us truthinfusion@gmail.com.